The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight on Unsigned, I'm talking NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, the top 25 in college football, news on the new Soundgarden album, and the top movies at the box office, and much, much more, only on Unsigned. Happening. Hey, everybody. How's it going out there? My name is Ryan. Welcome to another edition of Unsigned. Got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Crazy weekend in the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball playoffs. A lot of other things we want to cover tonight. And tell you what, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a fun show. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this at the top of the hour, and I thought, you know what? It's definitely worth bringing up, and that is the NBA. Deep breath, everybody, if you're an NBA fan. Hours and hours of negotiations throughout the first part of this week ended probably about a half an hour or so before I went on the air tonight. Now, again, I'm an NBA fan. It's probably one of my favorite sports, to be honest with you. It doesn't look good. 7 hours of meetings, including NBA players from the union, Billy Hunter representing the players' union, NBA owners and David Stern also present, other players present for the meeting today, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Kobe Bryant, among others, guys who have been in the league a long time. Now, the way this is shaping up, as of right now, training camp suspended. All of preseason, which is around 43 to 48 games, wipe that off the schedule. First 2 weeks of the season, wipe it off the schedule. Officially gone as of this evening. Now, the original proposal by the players, now get this. Now, the NBA players are the best paid with guaranteed contracts of any professional sport in the United States, period. An average of around between $4 to $5.5 million. They want a 57% revenue. The previous collective bargaining agreement was at 53%. The owners want 47% to go to the players, and the rest obviously going to the owners. David Stern alluded today that there was a 50-50 concept that had been talked about. More of a concept than anything, he said. The owners have backed off the hard cap demands. And they even backed off rollbacks on existing contracts under a new agreement. The owners are in the impression that the players will just cave, much like they did in 99, and just to get a deal done, not to miss any more of the season. That is not the case, according to Billy Hunter and the players. They're saying, you know what, you want to test our resolve? Go right ahead. We're willing to miss an entire season. Not good for the NBA at all. It doesn't look good. So if you're an NBA fan, the most NBA you're going to see is if you get NBA 2K12 that came out for Xbox and PlayStation 3 today. That's about the most NBA you're going to see starting November 1st moving forward. Preseason gone. First 2 weeks of the season. Scratch it off the calendar. That's your NBA news here on Unsigned. My name is Ryan. Hey, moving on tonight. Let's get on to a brighter news, and that is the NFL. Remember, they were lockout and everything was looking grim? Not to be, man. The NFL is flourishing. The NBA is stumbling and bumbling on the hardwood. The NFL is doing quite the opposite. All over the United States, in every single city, with every single team, big-time business, the NFL. Now, I've been doing a pigskin pick'em here for a couple weeks now. Going into this week, I was 27-19. I had a very good week. I went 11-5. Quarterway through the season, it leaves me at 38-24. Now, let's recap the games over this weekend. The Steelers and the Texans. Let's start there. The Texans at home, I thought this was going to be a shootout. It was quite the opposite. The Texans do find a way to win a close game. They lose Andre Johnson to a hamstring injury, yet to be determined how much time he's going to miss. They get Arian Foster back, who runs all over the Steelers' defense. And I'm telling you what, the Steelers' defense looks old and aging, and they look dusty. That's the best thing I can say. Now, I remember, if you've been listening to the show for a while now, you remember back in February where I was talking about the Steelers' defense is one of the oldest in the league. And I thought that they would be exposed in the Super Bowl, and they were. And here we are almost a year later. The average age on defense for the Steelers is 35 years old. And they're missing James Harrison, who's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks with an optical injury. He's got a bone cracked under his eyeball. He had surgery today. He's going to be out several weeks. He is the unquestioned leader of that front seven on defense. This is a team that's showing their age faster than maybe we wanted to see. Being a Browns fan, it's coming at a very good time, as far as I'm concerned. But now you have Ben Roethlisberger, who left Houston with a boot on his foot, comes out. Now he's got a sprain on that foot, so he's banged up. Steelers are in trouble. But the Texans, really a statement win, whether or not the Steelers are down or not. The Steelers were the AFC champion last year, and the Texans now 3-1 with a statement win over the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers, who look anything but that stout defense. Now, they're still rated in the top 10 overall in defense, but they do not look like they're going to be able to sustain that. And they gave up a lot of yards on the ground. When's the last time you thought the Steelers would be a team that you could run the ball on? It's been a long time. Texans win 17-10 in Houston. Big-time win for the Houston Texans. Now, let's go up to Soldier Field. The Carolina Panthers taking on the Chicago Bears. I had this game. I thought the Bears would win this easily, and it wasn't an easy win. Carolina, we talked about a couple weeks ago, they're a fun team to watch. They might not win a bunch of football games, but boy, they are in it every single week. Cam Newton, he had a rough start throwing a pick six, get returned for a touchdown. The Chicago Bears special teams, again, making big plays. Devin Hester breaking Eric Metcalf Jr.'s punt record this past Sunday for most punt returns returned for a touchdown, the most in NFL history. Congratulations to them. And the Bears really finding their running game with Matt Forte. They're heading to Detroit for a Monday night game. My pick for that will come a little later this evening, but the Bears do come up with a win at home against Carolina. Cam Newton and that team, I think, are going to come a long way by the end of the season and look for them to be a real threat in years to come. Now, here's another game. You have the Redskins and the Rams in St. Louis. The Rams were looking for their first win, and they would not get it. This is a sinking ship. It really looks like Sam Bradford is really missing his former play caller, Pat Shurmur, who is now the coach here in Cleveland for the Cleveland Browns. An 0-4 start for a team that many thought, including myself, had a chance to really win this division in the NFC. Now the Rams 0-4. I had to get back to the drawing board. Injuries on defense and on offense. 0-4 start, losing three of the games at home. Granted, hasn't been a favorable schedule. Interesting to see where the Rams go from here after an 0-4 start. And the Redskins look very good. Very, very good at 3-1 and sitting on top of the NFC North. Now, here's the big story of the weekend. That is the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the Eagles are now 1-3, and I'm telling you, they had major, major issues on defense. We talked about it last week. They had major issues on the offensive line as well. Vic played good, over 400 yards passing, a couple touchdowns. He did everything you could really ask. Mental mistakes, not fundamentally sound. And again, they have issues on the front seven. And now their defensive leader, Trent Cole, their defensive end, is going to be out a couple weeks with an injury. And that D-line does not look good. And their linebackers, their linebackers are just not good. They cannot get off blocks. They don't obviously like physical contact and tackling running backs. They gave up 127 yards rushing to Frank Gore on just 15 carries. I mean, he just ran rampant through the front seven in Philadelphia, blowing a 20-point lead in Philadelphia, the Eagles did to the 49ers. Unbelievable turnovers, missed field goals, missed cues, not fundamentally sound football that you come from an Andy Reid coach football club. I mean, the fact that you give up a 20-point lead for the 49ers led by Alex Smith at quarterback is alarming. Now 1-3, and it does not get easier for the Philadelphia Eagles. It does not. Heading to Buffalo this week. I think the next weeks to come are really going to determine whether this dream team is actually really living a nightmare. I think team chemistry is an issue on this team. Anytime you add a lot of free agents and a lot of new pieces on a season where there was really no training camp, you didn't have your normal offseason. You got all these new pieces. So obviously team chemistry is an issue. Decision-making on the field and on the sidelines is in question. And you know Philadelphia fans in Philadelphia are absolutely losing their minds on sports talk radio, no doubt about it. Now let's head up to Cleveland Brown Stadium, the Tennessee Titans coming to town. A game I thought that, you know, if the Cleveland defense could contain Chris Johnson, they had a chance to really keep it close, and they did anything but that. They did not keep it close at all. Well, okay, I'll take that back. They kept it close for about a quarter and a half. Browns only able to muster 13 points. Turnovers, miscues, penalties, you name it. The Browns did a little bit of everything. Poor tackling on defense. They're not good enough to overcome those type of miscues at this point or stage. Very young team. You just can't overcome those things. Really a lack of execution on both sides of the ball here for the Cleveland Browns. And the Tennessee Titans look really good. They get Chris Johnson rolling, had over 100 yards rushing. Hasselbeck had 3 touchdown passes on only 20 attempts. Completed over half of them. The Titans, a big surprise at 3-1 right now in the AFC. And with Chris Johnson really not having a great game. I mean, he looked okay in Cleveland, but he hasn't, been Chris Johnson that we've come to expect. The guy who's rushed for over 4,000 yards the last couple of years. Tennessee is a very scary looking team. They have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Moving to Kansas City, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Two teams that were winless going into this game. Somebody had to win it, right? I thought it was going to be the Vikings. I was wrong. The Chiefs find a way to muster up a win in KC at home. The Vikings now 0-4. The Donovan McNabb experiment. And I wonder how long it'll take before we see first-round pick Christian Ponder from Florida State get into the mix. I think McNabb better heat up himself some Campbell soup and stay warm on the bench here in the next coming weeks. They have a bye week coming up here in a couple weeks. I would think if they're going to make a change, it would be then, especially if the season really gets away from them. I mean, 0-4, how much more can you really let the season get away from you? They have some good players there. Jared Allen on defense, Adrian Peterson at running back, but Donovan McNabb has not looked good at all. That's an understatement. I think you draft Christian Ponder last year with the 16th pick overall. You're 0-4. The season's getting away from you. I think you got to find out what this kid has got. I mean, if you really think he needs a year or two to sit, and I guess you ride McNabb out, I don't know. The Vikings ship is definitely taking in water right now in Minnesota. Now, here's a game. Unbelievable. The Lions heading to Big D, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Well, I'll tell you what, they came up short big time. Matthew Stafford of the Lions was clutch. This kid has got a rocket cannon for an arm. And I'll tell you what, Calvin Johnson, by the way, if you don't know, he's pretty good. This guy is, 6'4", probably got a 44-inch vertical leap, just jumping out of nowhere, plucking balls out of the air over 3 defenders. I mean, unbelievable. The Dallas Cowboys blow a 24-point lead at home, the biggest blown lead in Dallas Cowboy history. Jerry World is getting flipped upside down. I'm sorry, the Cowboys are not a very good team. Of course, last week ESPN was like, oh, Tony Romo's coming of age. Oh, Tony Romo this and Tony Romo that. Tony Romo. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give it. Tony Romo had a very gutty effort. He had some busted up ribs a couple weeks ago, and he did have some nice performances. But I'm sorry, the guy is what he is, and he's a turnover machine. He threw 3 interceptions with a 24-point lead in the second half. 2 of those interceptions were returned for touchdowns. 1 of them returned by Bobby Carpenter, a former Dallas Cowboy, and who also was a groomsman at Tony Romo's wedding as well. Returns are for a touchdown. The Lions look good. The Lions at 4-0 for the first time, I think, since 1980 or something. No longer the doormat in the NFL. Credit Matthew Stafford and Lions for coming back. Calvin the Megatron Johnson. I'm telling you, this dude is amazing. If you haven't seen Calvin Johnson play, I mean, he's played in Detroit for a couple years now and hasn't got a lot of attention because they've been so bad. But, man, I'll tell you what, this dude is good. Unbelievable. Probably one of the top 2, 3, 4 wide receivers in the NFL, no doubt about it. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, I don't know. I just don't see this team as a playoff team. I predicted them to be a wild card team, and at this point, the up and down, the inconsistency – they have a lot of holes on defense, and obviously Tony Romo is not the answer there at quarterback. The guy's been in the league 9 years. He's been a starter for 5 and still making mistakes such as this, throwing off his back foot, chucking the ball into double, triple coverage. I mean, that's not something you want from a veteran quarterback. There are issues in Dallas that need to be addressed, and when they address them, I don't know. But as of right now, I think Tony Romo will maybe get them into the playoffs. I'd be surprised if they do. Lions roar come back and put Dallas in the history books, not for a good reason, blowing the biggest lead in franchise history of 24 points. Unbelievable. Lions 4-0. Who would have thought that? The Buffalo Bills heading to Cincinnati. Now, Buffalo Bills were 3-0 heading into this game. They get a big win over New England. You thought for sure they're going to Cincinnati to play a rookie quarterback. They're going to win this thing. Afraid not. The Bengals, again, find a way to win. It wasn't pretty, but hey, that's just the way Cincinnati likes it. They kick a field goal with 4 seconds left. They win 23-20. Ohio State fans will remember Mike Nugent. The Nuge hits the game-winning field goal. The Bengals 2-2 with rookie quarterback Andy Dalton. And I'll tell you what, this kid from TCU, Andy Dalton, really looks like he has a lot of upside. He's looked like a rookie too, but I mean, you know, you got to admit you're 2-2 in Cincinnati with a rookie wide receiver, a makeshift offense, a lot of new pieces, you know, a rookie quarterback. The defense has been consistent. That's kept them in ball games. Bengals 2-2. Saints heading to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Jaguars are averaging under 10 points per game this season and have scored only one touchdown in the last 11 quarters. Also, memo to Jacksonville Jaguars groundkeepers. Note, I wanted to bring this up. The arrow on football fields are supposed to point towards the closest to the end zone, not the opposite direction. It's been that kind of season in Jacksonville. They can't even get the lines on the field painting right with the grounds crew. Well, with that being said, the Saints roll all over them. Drew Brees and company, big win for them. Saints steady as they go. Who they going to beat them Saints? They look like a real good ball club and maybe the only team that can challenge the Green Bay Packers, and we'll get to them a little later. The G-Men, the Giants, heading to Arizona in the desert. You know, I like heading out west. You know, it's warm. You know, you get the dry heat. And I thought, you know, maybe the Cardinals would, you know, try to find a win here. And by all accounts, they probably should have won. Credit Eli Manning and the Giants for coming back and scoring a bunch of points in the fourth quarter to win this thing. But here's the thing that I want to get to. This is really the controversial call of the week. Wide receiver Victor Cruz catches a ball and is falling to the ground. He's untouched and leaves the ball laying on the ground. Now, and the old NFL, before a lot of the rule changes that happened this year with protecting players, that is what they call a gift wrap fumble. If any of you remember Plexico Burress coming out of Michigan State in his very first year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, catching a ball falling down and then spiking it because he made a good play, and then the defense picking up and running it back the other way. And then you remember Marvin Harrison for the Colts, pretending to fall down, then getting back up, being untouched, and then running in the end zone for a touchdown. Now, if you remember those things, you'll know that, you know, you must be down by contact. Now, under the new rules, this was key in how they determined this, that the player had given himself up in the game. Now, I don't remember ever seeing a player diving head first, declaring himself down when he was not touched at all. So he leaves the ball laying in the middle of the field. The Cardinals pick it up thinking they just got a gift wrap fumble. They win the game because the Giants are down 3 points and driving at this point. Not to be. And then, to make matters worse, Arizona, because of the call and the official saying the wide receiver Victor Cruz gave himself up, is no longer, it's not a reviewable play under the new rules. So therefore, the Giants keep the ball where he declared himself down and end up winning the game in the fourth quarter. Arizona, talk about bad luck, man. They've lost 3 games this season. They've all been within, what, 3 points of one another? Tough way to start the season. Unbelievable. I think it's a blown call by the officials. I think they should be able to challenge that. I don't like that rule at all. But I guess if you're a Giants fan, you really do like that rule. Yeah, he was giving himself up. Unbelievable. NFL, you got to love it. My name is Ryan. This is Unsigned. Continue with the recap here of the NFL games this past weekend. We have Falcons, Seahawks. The Seahawks travel to take on Seattle Seahawks in that beautiful stadium they have up there in Washington, a.k.a. the 12th man. And I tell you what, the Falcons tried to give this thing away. They really did. And you know what? I'm not sold. You know, I'm really not sold on the Falcons. You know, you can say you can save money on your car insurance, and with that money you can buy a Falcon. I wouldn't buy a Falcon with that money. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. The Atlanta Falcons have struggled mightily this season. And against the Seahawks, they're not a very, very good team at all. Yes, they won their division last year at 7-9. They won their division, mind you. Under 500, made the playoffs. Now, the Seahawks would have won this game if it wasn't for a 60-yard field goal that was missed and ended up being short. But I tell you what, the Atlanta Falcons, I just don't see them as a contender as I thought they were going to be this year. I don't think they're physical enough, nor do I think their defense is good enough, especially in the secondary, even in their front with the addition of Ray Edwards. I really don't see Atlanta being a threat, looking as good as the Saints have looked, and Tampa Bay just manhandled them 2 weeks ago. The Falcons have some serious issues. I mean, Matt Ryan has been sacked 13 times in four games. That's not good. If you can't keep your quarterback upright, you're going to have trouble winning. And they haven't been able to run the ball that they would like to with Michael Turner. I really think that's their identity, is run the ball with Michael Turner and then find a way to get outside with Roddy White and Julio Jones. And until that happens, the Falcons, I think, are going to struggle week in and week out. Now, here's a big game at the Black Hole. The Raiders taking on the Patriots, coming off that big loss. Now, you knew the Patriots are going to be in a bad mood after losing to a division rival. And I tell you what, the Patriots look really, really good. They contained the Raiders' running game with their defense, which is something I wasn't sure they could do, but their front seven contained Darren McFadden. And Tom Brady really finds balance here with the Patriots running the ball and also throwing the ball, making the right adjustments that you would expect Bill Belichick and company to make. Again, a balance between the run and pass, checking the defense. Now, they do lose middle linebacker Gerard Mayo to an MCL sprain. He's expected to miss it probably 4 to 6 weeks. That is a major loss for a struggling defense, but I think New England is getting on track. You've seen that happen last year when they lost to Cleveland. They were playing okay football, and then they had an embarrassing loss, and they come back, and they didn't lose the rest of the season. So I'm not saying they're not going to lose the rest of the season, but I think, you know, New England usually, you know, Bill Belichick says it's humble pie, you know, and that's their terminology. They take a loss, they get humbled by it, and they really get to the grindstone and do what they do, and that's play their football and find balance and play smart, fundamental football, and they get the Jets heading into Foxborough this week. That should be a good one. Dolphins, Chargers. I tell you what, they look good. Usually the Chargers are synonymous with a slow start. They haven't looked as sharp as you would like, but at 3-1, Phillip Rivers, Mike Tolbert, Ryan Matthews, Vincent Jackson, they have a lot of weapons on offense, and the speed they have on defense is scary, even by NFL standards. That defense is flying all over the field. Very, very solid football club in San Diego. Maybe flying under the radar a little bit. At 3-1, not only people were talking about them, people were talking about, you know, Buffalo, New England, people were talking about Tennessee, San Diego, just kind of floating around under the radar, and I think that's just the way they like it there. Now, as far as the Miami Dolphins are concerned, giving a vote of confidence to their head coach during their bye week is usually, that's like the kiss of death in the NFL. I don't expect Tony Soprano to be there at the end of the season. Like, I'll be surprised at 0-4 right now heading into a bye week if he makes it halfway through the season at this point. But what can you do in a shortened season, you know, an off season where they had the lockout in the off season? I don't think they fire Tony Soprano. I think that, you know, they probably stick it out for the remainder of the season and then they'll probably part ways there. Now the Broncos heading up to Green Bay. The Packers roll at home, no surprise there. Broncos, they try to keep it close. They just don't have enough firepower to deal with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, yeah, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is really, really good. Unbelievable. Yeah, the Broncos are not that great, but my goodness, man. I mean, the Packers look like the best team in football at 4-0. Now, I really wonder who's going to beat them. I mean, I understand. I know the Lions are in their division. They're 4-0, but until I see it, I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I just have to think the Packers look like the best team in football. They have rolled and put up big numbers everywhere they've played thus far. Now, the Sunday night game, what a mess this game was. You know, in a game, in a season where passing yards have been in abundance, okay, the first 4 weeks of this season in the NFL have set records in NFL history for most passing yards in a week. Most passing yards so far in a season to this point in the first quarter of the season ever. This game Sunday night in Baltimore, Jets-Ravens, was anything but that. And you look at the score and you go, what the heck? Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, six touchdowns scored in that game, right? Yeah, there were six touchdowns scored. Five of them did not come from offense. The Ravens scored 21 points themselves. They score three touchdowns. The Jets score a touchdown on defense and on special teams. One touchdown was scored offensively in this game. The rest was done by the defense. Unbelievable game. In this day and age, you look at the way the NFL is structured, it's a passing league. This was an old school beatdown by the Ravens, and it really, really, I mean, the Ravens, you keep waiting for this team to look its age. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, you know, Terrell Suggs and these guys, but I tell you what, they just keep plugging guys in. They just seem to find playmakers. Credit Ozzie Newsome, general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, who has done a phenomenal job finding personnel to put around an influx, an aging defense. Now, granted, Ray Lewis hasn't slowed down that much. Ed Reed hasn't slowed down that much, but they seem to find guys that fit that mold of what they want to do on defense, and they look the part. Maybe one of the best teams in the AFC, I dare say. Unbelievable. Ravens at 3-1 look really, really good. Now the Jets on the other side do not look like the same Jets we've seen the last couple of years. They cannot run the ball. They have trouble stopping the run as well. They have issues on the offensive line. That Sanchez had four fumbles, interception return for a touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown. He had a rough night. He looks shell-shocked. The Ravens, very first play from scrimmage, sack fumble, ran back for a touchdown. I mean, he was just shell-shocked. The Ravens jumped all over New York in that game. The crowd was into it, and now the Jets really fit in line with teams that have issues on the offensive line. I talked about it last week. Atlanta, Philly, the Bears, throw the Jets right in there. Now, I know they're missing Nick Mangold, their Pro Bowl center out of Ohio State. He's going to be back hopefully by next week when they head to Foxborough, but I think the Jets need to find their bravado, find a way to run the ball. They're heading to New England, big-time division rival game. They better find it and find it quick. Rex Ryan not happy with what's going on in the locker room, what's happening, what's going on the field there in New York. I think they have issues. Monday night, the Colts, Buccaneers. Now, last time the Colts and Buccaneers played in a Monday night game, it was in 2003. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers this game or not, but I sure do. I remember sitting at home at my home in Columbus, Ohio at the time in 2003, going, this game's over. Peyton Manning playing the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, down 21 points with 5 minutes to go. Buccaneers are at home, and what is still one of the greatest comebacks in NFL history ever, led by Peyton the Sheriff Manning. The Colts were down 35-14 with about 5 minutes to go in that game. They come back and win the game 35-38. Absolutely classic. This game Monday night with the Colts and the Bucks, not probably a game you're going to put in as a classic. Entertaining game, not a classic. You have Curtis Painter getting his very first start for the Indianapolis Colts. Played pretty good, had a couple of touchdown passes, still completed under 50% of his passes. Their inability to run the football really hurt this young quarterback. And Tampa Bay, tell you what, if they cut out the mistakes and penalties and just mental errors, this team is scary. I really like Tampa Bay. I like Josh Freeman at the quarterback position and Garrett Blunt from Oregon. My goodness, that guy is a battering ram at 250-plus pounds and this top-end speed to match. He put that game away with a big-time drive to seal it on a big-time run with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. Josh Freeman, quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has more fourth-quarter comebacks in the NFL since the beginning of 2010 than any other quarterback in the NFL, and that's seven fourth-quarter comebacks in a season and a half of football. That's unbelievable numbers right there. Now, let's head into next week, the games, the picks. Here we go. We have Raiders, Texans. You know what? I'm going to take the Texans in this. I think the Raiders traveling to Houston, I don't know why. I just think that, the Texans, with their ability to run the ball, if they can find a way to run the ball with Arian Foster, despite the Raiders' front seven, I think the Texans find a way to win this game, even without Andre Johnson. Bengals heading to the Jaguars. I don't know who's going to win this game. It's not going to be pretty. I don't think anybody has this game circled on their calendar by any means. Battle of two rookie quarterbacks, Andy Dalton and Blaine Gabbert. I think the difference for Jacksonville is going to be Maurice Jones-Drew, so I'm going to take the Jags at home. Eagles, Bills. The Eagles, that boat, again, the Eagle is not soaring the way they thought it would be. That dream team is a nightmare, and they can't stop the run, and facing Fred Jackson in Buffalo is not a remedy for success. I'm going to take the Bills at home over the Eagles. press the panic button in Philadelphia right now, please. Seahawks heading to New York to play the Giants. This is a no-brainer. I'm sorry. The G-men get a gift in the desert, and then they get another gift and get the Seahawks traveling from, you know, halfway across the country. Doesn't look good. I'm taking the G-men all the way on that one. Cardinals, Vikings, Kevin Cobb versus Donovan McNabb. The battle of two former Eagle quarterbacks. The Vikings look like they may get their first win, right? Mm-mm. I say no. I think the Cardinals, you know, they've been in a lot of tough games. I think the Cardinals find a way to get in the win column again, and the Vikings go 0-5. Uh-oh. Titans going to Pittsburgh this weekend. You know what? Any other time when you first look at the schedule, you would have been like, ah, you know, Tennessee with the turnover at coach, bringing Matt Hasselbeck in, you would circle a win. I tell you what, the Steelers, I talked about that age on defense. Chris Johnson is a fast man. He is a dangerous man. And I think he might have a breakout game in Pittsburgh. How about that? I'm taking the Titans over the Steelers in Pittsburgh. We have the Chiefs and the Colts. The Colts at 0-4 for the first time since Peyton Manning's rookie season. I think the Colts playing at home versus the Chiefs, who have struggled mightily. I think the Colts finally get their first win in what is sure to be a very, very long season. I think they believe it's been a long season already. The Saints heading to Carolina. You know what? Cam Newton handled himself pretty well against the Chicago Bears D. I'm not going to go on a limb and say they're going to win this thing. I think the Saints are really, really good. And the Saints are a different animal on defense. They are going to blitz. They're going to bring the heat. And I think Cam Newton is going to, you know, he's going to wind up in some trouble there. I think the Saints are going to roll big time over Cam Newton and those Carolina Panthers. But don't be surprised if they're in it early and even late, for that matter. I think Carolina is a scrappy ball club. Buccaneers heading to San Francisco. The Bucs heading west. You know what? As I said, if they clear up some of their mistakes that they made on Monday night, the, just the mental errors and penalties, false starts, these type of things, I think Tampa Bay should be able to win this. I think it's going to be a close one. I'm taking Tampa Bay over the 49ers. Jets heading to Foxborough after an awful, that's horror awful, that's horrible and awful together. After an horrible, awful performance in Baltimore, the Jets come to Baltimore and play division rival New England. I think the Pats D, now, obviously, they're nothing like the Ravens defense, who is. But with that being said, I think Tom Brady and company, I think they roll big time. I think a little payback here for that playoff victory on the Jets last season. I'm taking the Patriots at home in Foxborough over their division rival. Chargers, Broncos, heading to Denver. Now, usually this is an AFC West classic matchup. I just don't see it. I think the Broncos have major issues, and they're in the same boat Minnesota is. When do you say enough's enough and find out what Tim Tebow can do? I think the Chargers really look to create separation in their division in the AFC and take this game easily. Packers, Falcons, Sunday night. Now, you remember last year in the playoffs when Green Bay went down to Atlanta, and everyone was like, oh, Atlanta, they don't lose at home, 14-2, getting the wild card Packers, and the Packers dropped, 42 points on them in that game. I think you're going to see a whole lot of the same. The Packers are a physical team. They're going to bring the heat. They're going to get to Matt Ryan. I'm taking the Packers in Atlanta over the Falcons. Now, here's the Monday night game. The Bears heading to Detroit, NFC North. Big time clash, Detroit Bears, two classic teams that have been in the league a long, long time, getting back to the AFL days. I went back and forth on this one. I really wasn't sure what direction to go here on it, to be honest with you. But I tell you what, I'm going to take the Lions. I think the Lions are going to go 5-0. I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth, but they are. I think the Bears have trouble at the offensive line. And, you know, Detroit, their front seven is going to get at the quarterback. So I'm going to take the Lions. And Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson just have something going on there that I just don't think even the Chicago Bears defense is ready for. There you go. Those are my picks and the NFL recap from last week here on Unsigned. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it. Now, we're going to head to a section of the show we call Off the Path. This is where, you know, we take a break. We take a step back from sports. And we talk about things not sports related. We'll lead off tonight here on Off the Path with one of my favorite bands of the 90s, and that is Soundgarden, who, again, will continue and probably always continue to have the attitude of being a formed, functioning band that just needed to take a break, says Chris Cornell. We have a new album. It's almost finished, and it should be out in spring of 2012. We felt really good, and we felt like we haven't even missed a beat. Now, we covered this a couple months ago that Soundgarden did have an album. There wasn't a potential release date. So now Chris Cornell comes out and says, hey, spring 2012, new Soundgarden. We're going to continue being a band. Look for a big-time tour, I would guess, this coming summer with Soundgarden. That should be a real fun tour there. Now, also another news, talking about bands from the 80s and 90s, Perry Farrell promises to initiate a show that will recall the late 80s and early 90 days of Jane's Addiction. This is going to be a low-down, dirty club show for people who want to see Jane's Addiction close up. October 18th in Irving Plaza in L.A., Jane's Addiction and their highly anticipated new album, The Great Escape, which is going to be released on October 18th. They were going to be doing a large live-scale production next year. He says, right now I already have that in mind of doing a big, large-scale production. But right now I really want to focus on smaller clubs, says Perry Farrell. It's going to be different, and it's what we want to do right now. We're definitely will be introducing new songs. During the making of The Great Escape artist, Farrell toyed with the idea of actually doing the album live from start to finish and opening up shows that way. I'm even abbreviating some of the songs. Unfortunately, though, through new material, it will coexist with concert and also classic Jane's Addiction material as well, because Farrell knows what fans want. I want these young people to say, before I die, I saw them in concert. I tell you what, I have had the pleasure of seeing Jane's Addiction live. Mike, I know you have as well. I tell you what, if you haven't seen Jane's Addiction live, do yourself a favor. It is a heck of a show, regardless of whether it's original cast or not. I think it's going to be with Dave Navarro on guitar. It is definitely going to be a great show, and I really like some of the new stuff I've heard off the new album. I'm very excited to hear it in full. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path, reality TV star Holly Madison has insured her breast for $1 million. Yeah. That's the unsigned clap of the night right there, no doubt about it. Congratulations. Madison, 31 years old, said she took out a policy to protect herself and others in her Los Angeles production Peep Show. If anything happened to my boobs, she said, I'd be out a few months and possibly be out $1 million, she told people. I just thought I should cover my assets, in quotations. Madison said she had plastic surgery in 2001 and took her A cup to a large D cup. Madison, who gained fame as one of the Playboy founders of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends on the TV series The Girl Next Door, isn't alone in insuring famous body parts. Film stars Betty Grable, Angie Dickinson, as well as TV stars Angie Everhart and Mary Hart, each have had their legs insured for $1 million. All I can say is you're in good hands with – oh, wait, no, that's something else. Or maybe like a good neighbor, State Farm is there with insured breasts. Or maybe it's Allstate. Isn't it Allstate? Get your body parts covered before mayhem happens, Holly Madison. Congratulations to Holly Madison covering, I guess that's $500K for breast, right? Unbelievable. Yeah, people insuring body parts. Wonder if I can get my voice insured. It might be hard to get a policy for that, I'd imagine. Box office this week. We do this every week at the end of Off the Path. Top movies at the box office. At number 10, the movie Contagion at $4.9 million. Again, getting very good reviews. The movie Killer Elite. Great cast. Jason Statham also in that film, $4.9 million. What's Your Number? $5.4 million. The movie Abduction at $5.6 million. The movie Dreamhouse at $8.1 million. The movie 50-50, which is also getting very good reviews. Seth Rogen is in that film. $8.6 million. The movie Courageous at $9 million. The Lion King 3D at $10.6 million. The movie Moneyball, which I would really like to see, based on a true story, $12 million. And Dolphin Tale 3D at $13.9 million. Morgan Freeman film, also based on a true story. Has been Off the Path tonight. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me as we head into top 25 college football. Number 24, Texas A&M, taking on number 10, Arkansas. And really, what was a shootout? I tell you what, Texas A&M, it must be something in Dallas Cowboys Stadium, because they blow a 20-some-point lead Saturday, and the Cowboys come in there and blow a 24-point lead on Sunday. Arkansas wins 42-38. Northwestern taking on Illinois. Illinois off to their best start in quite some time. Ron Zook has those guys playing some really good football out in Illinois at 5-0 right now, 38-35 over Northwestern. How about Michigan making a statement, opening up Big Ten conference play, beating Minnesota 58-0 in a beatdown at the Big House. LSU making short work in Kentucky 35-7. Boise State, remember last year when Boise State lost to Nevada and it really kind of cost them a BCS? Not that it kind of did. It really did lose a BCS bid for Boise State. Boise State all over Nevada 30-10. Auburn with the upset of the weekend beating South Carolina, who was ranked number 10 at the time in South Carolina. It's official that South Carolina, the Gamecocks, are going to bench Stephen Garcia and go with a different quarterback. This is a game that I saw and I was really bummed about because I thought Robert Griffin III, the quarterback for Baylor, I really wanted Baylor to run the table because, I mean, let's face it, Baylor doesn't have a stellar team every single year. And they end up losing 36-35 to Kansas State, a very good football team. But Robert Griffin, this guy has thrown more touchdowns than he's thrown incomplete passes. Unbelievable. Obviously right up there with the Heisman voting, I would guess. Georgia Tech in that triple option taking on NC State, winning 45-35. They don't play a lot of defense at Georgia Tech, but they are going to run the ball and score a lot of points. You got to like that, right? West Virginia taking on Bowling Green, 55-10. In favor of the Mountaineers. Clemson, the first time in school history, beating the third-ranked team in a row, heading up to Blacksburg, taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies and laying it on them big time. 23-3. Unbelievable. Clemson looks like the real deal. Oklahoma taking on Ball State, 62-6. Oklahoma all the way there. Texas taking on Iowa State, 37-14. That sets up the Red River rivalry coming up next week, this coming Saturday. It is Texas taking on Oklahoma. That should be a good one. Alabama heading down to the swamp, not a problem at all. 38-10 over Florida. Alabama, again, a team that looks very, very good. Nebraska taking on Wisconsin at Camp Randall, a night game. Their very first conference game in the Big Ten. Welcome to the Big Ten, Nebraska. Wisconsin, just like the Honey Badger, they don't give a damn. They whooped on those Cornhuskers 48-17. Unbelievable. Welcome to the Big Ten, Nebraska. Too bad they get a dismantled and underachieving Ohio State team coming to Lincoln next week. Anybody miss Jim Tressel yet in Columbus? How about the play calling? Everyone used to criticize Jim Tressel about play calling. I tell you what, I bet they wish they had his play calling right now. That offense at Ohio State looks awful, by the way. That's horrible. That's horrible and awful together. Again, Ohio State does not look like a good football team. I'd guess Nebraska bounces back this week. Arizona State taking on Oregon State, 35-20 in favor of Arizona State, staying in the top 25. Stanford taking on UCLA. I tell you what, nobody's talking about Stanford and Andrew Luck, who had 227 yards, 3 touchdowns, also caught a pass, one-handed, diving out of bounds. Unbelievable. Really like Andrew Luck. I really like that Stanford team. They roll over UCLA 45-19. Now, here's your top 25 in college football right now. This is the AP poll, not the coaches poll. Number 25, Baylor. Number 24, Texas A&M, somehow still in the top 25 after 2 losses in a row. That's surprising. Florida State at number 23, Arizona State at 22, Virginia Tech dropping all the way down to number 21, Kansas State, they were not rated, now they are at number 20 in the country. Illinois now at number 19, South Carolina drops from number 10 all the way down to number 18. Florida now at number 17, they were at number 12. West Virginia jumping back up in the top 20 at number 16. Auburn, who were not rated, now at number 15. Nebraska drops from number 8 all the way to number 14. Georgia Tech now number 13. Michigan at number 12. Texas at number 11. Here's your top 10 in college football. Arkansas at number 10. Oregon at number 9. Clemson at number 8. Stanford at number 7. I don't know how they dropped the spot. Unbelievable. Oklahoma State at number 6. Boise State dropping from number 4 to number 5. Wisconsin making the biggest jump in the top 10 from number 7 to number 4. Oklahoma at number 3 getting 7 votes for number 1. Alabama at number 2 getting 12 votes. votes and LSU getting 40 votes and number one in the polls. Now, one thing is going to happen here, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is that LSU and Alabama are going to play one another. One of those teams are going to end up with a loss. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are going to play one another. One of those teams are going to have a loss. Now, at that point, that leaves Wisconsin, Boise State, Stanford, Clemson, all on the outside looking in national title-wise against LSU and, you know, or Alabama, the winner of that game, and Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, the winner of that game. That's the way it looks right now. A lot can happen. Wisconsin looks like the class of the Big Ten. I don't know if anyone's going to challenge that team. They look really, really good. I mean, they made a decent, above-average Nebraska team look really bad. I mean, wow. I was shocked when I watched that game. Absolutely shocked at how good Wisconsin was. I knew they were good. Just for the simple fact that, you know, I'm an Ohio State fan. I grew up in Big Ten country, and I've seen them play a number of games, but I didn't think they were that good. Unbelievable. College football is good. It's going to be an interesting finish, as always. I tell you what, by the time end of October rolls around, we're going to know a lot more about a lot of these teams. And the very first weekend in November, you have LSU taking on Alabama. That is going to be a good one. And you also have Oklahoma taking on Texas, so don't rule that out. If Texas beats Oklahoma, they're right in the mix. Boom, right there. So a lot can happen in college football right now. It remains to be seen. Moving on tonight with your Major League Baseball playoff recap. Now, before I get into the playoffs, last week, last Wednesday night, probably one of the most rememberable Major League Baseball regular season endings you'll ever witness. I mean, I'm talking amazing historical proportions here. Both wild card spots were up in the air and ready for the taking. It has been mayhem. You have the Atlanta Braves, who had an 8.5 game lead going into September, losing to the Philadelphia Phillies in 13 innings. Therefore, the St. Louis Cardinals get in as the wild card. At the same time in the American League, you have the Boston Red Sox, who had a 9-game lead at the beginning of September, blowing it, playing in Baltimore against a division rival, the last-place Baltimore Orioles, losing in the bottom of the 9th. And then 3 minutes later, you have the Yankees playing Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay hitting a home run, a walk-off home run in extra innings to seal their fate and go play in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Unbelievable. You couldn't ask or script a better ending. Literally, I'm watching the Red Sox game. It ends. They switch to the Tampa Bay Yankees game. Literally, 3 minutes later, Tampa Bay wins. Now, it was like, it seemed like they were back-to-back almost simultaneously. It was really, really bizarre to see, but very exciting for Major League Baseball to have the regular season end in that fashion, where the wild cards are up for grabs, and they end in that fashion with a walk-off win. And, you know, unbelievable. Good for baseball. Now, with that being said, Major League Baseball playoffs taking place. All four games are in the mix. The Tampa Bay Rays, as great as it was, they have been eliminated from the playoffs by the Texas Rangers today. Now, also, the Brewers are looking for a sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks. That is taking place later this evening. The Philadelphia Phillies beat St. Louis today. They take a 2-1 lead. They can wrap that series up. I believe that should take place Thursday evening. Again, the Rangers wrap up the Tampa Bay Rays tonight in Tampa Bay. And I tell you what, the Detroit Tigers got a very solid game last night from Justin Verlander, who struck out 11 batters. And Detroit is knocking on the door and looking to knock the Yankees out of the postseason, making it an early exit. You're looking to get that done tonight, and I'm actually going to check to see if we can get a score update on that, because that is major, major implications as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Right now, it is bottom of the fourth, Yankees up 2-1 in Detroit. I said if the Tigers win that game tonight, it would be an early exit for those Yankees. Just goes to show you that you can't win baseball by buying it. And I would like to see the Yankees eliminated, not because I don't like the Yankees, but because I don't like the Yankees. I mean, let's face it. I want to see some fresh faces. I want to see some new faces here. You know, I think it's good for baseball. You got no Red Sox. Yankees make an early exit, and then you're looking at Rangers, who were there last year. They didn't win it. And I tell you what, I'm rooting for the Rangers, and here's the reason why. One, these guys have great hitting. Two, I think they are a class organization. We've talked about this on the show. Now, opening night at Texas Ranger Stadium, remember us talking about the young boy, Connor Stone. His dad passed away and fell to his death at Tiger Stadium, or excuse me, in Texas Ranger Stadium a couple months ago. Again, this shows you the class act organization that Nolan Ryan has going on with the Texas Rangers right now. They have young Connor Stone out there throwing out the very first pitch for the opening of the playoffs at the stadium and pitching to his favorite baseball player, Josh Hamilton. And then they have his whole family, including his mother and others, in the owner's box with Nolan Ryan watching the game. A very emotional moment for everyone involved at the stadium, players included. But again, shows you the class act that Nolan Ryan and the Texas Rangers are top notch when it comes to organizations. That is the feel-good story of the night here on Unsigned. I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was definitely worth mentioning. I mean, to bring the kid out, you know, put his whole family in the owner's box, let him throw the first pitch. I mean, they've been involved with his college fund. They've been involved with the family. Top-notch organization. What more can you say about it? Moving on here tonight on Unsigned. I guess Madonna is going to be doing the halftime show for the Super Bowl this year. It was just announced yesterday. Madonna is slated to perform in this year's Super Bowl. Yay, Madonna. I mean, I guess it can't be worse than last year's Black Eyed Peas debacle, right? Maybe it can. I don't know. I mean, Madonna in her 50s playing pop classics Like a Virgin, Like a Prayer. Maybe she can play her dance club hit music. Madonna, Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, the argument has been made about the Super Bowl halftime act. Why don't they get more modern acts? Well, they did. They got the Black Eyed Peas last year, and that was horrendous. I mean, it was really bad. You know, in other years, they've had, you know, The Who and Tom Petty, and those have actually gone pretty well. I mean, there are other mainstream acts out there that I think are worthy to take notice, and there's not many modern music artists out there that are really that great. Let's face it. I mean, the classics are the classics, and the modern music is so-so. Let's call it like it is here. Here are some modern acts that I think that should definitely be looked at and some reasons why they won't be looked at. I think one should be in the hunt is Metallica. Why not? I mean, they're probably too loud and too aggressive for a Super Bowl halftime audience family show. But, I mean, you talk about longevity in a band that's really put a lot of great music together. Metallica's got to be up there as far as one of the newer acts. How about Jay-Z? Not going to happen, at least not in any recent years, but the Super Bowl is going to be in New Jersey, the new Meadowlands 2014, so maybe Jay-Z gets in there. Another band that I thought would be the Red Hot Chili Peppers, a band that has a lot of pop culture songs that are very recognizable. Why not have the Red Hot Chili Peppers do a halftime show? I'd watch it. I think that'd be great. I would love to see Flea and Chet Smith on the drum kit going absolutely crazy playing some of your favorite Chili Pepper songs. Why not? That's just my take on it. But this year, we get Madonna in Indianapolis. Like a virgin. Madonna. Super Bowl halftime show. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Speaking of fun, all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. In case you haven't heard, good old my name's Hank Williams Jr. And I'm hanging out here in Nashville, Tennessee. He was on Fox and Friends. And I'll tell you what, before I play this clip, I mean, anytime that you have a political show, we don't do a lot of politics here, and I don't want to get into the political aspect of what he's going to say here, but I think it just shows you what an idiot the guy is. But, I mean, anytime you have a political show, and we're not a political show by any means here, but, I mean, you know, you have a right to free speech, of course, but, I mean, come on. You know, at least know what you're talking about to a certain extent. At least have an educated opinion and sound like you didn't stumble out of a bar somewhere in Nashville and go on Fox and Friends. You know, I mean, I tell you what, let me just play the clip. You can make your own mind up here.
He comes from country music royalty, and he's been the voice of Monday Night Football for over 20 years. But it's not all about music for this country superstar. He knows a little about politics, too.
That's right. And join us right now to break down the 2012 GOP field is country singer superstar Hank Williams Jr. Good morning to you, sir.
Hi there, guys.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm sitting here in Nashville at the little studio.
Okay.
Your body language says leave you alone. Your hands are crossed.
Whatever,
you're shaking us off.
Okay. Hey, since you
I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
Well, there you go.
Good morning to you, too.
Yeah.
Let's just have a little
How
intimate discussion right here. I'd love to pick
your brain
about politics.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll start with an easy question. Who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Nobody?
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah. And Biden and Kasich,
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in? The shape this country's in, I mean? No, I don't
So,
know.
Yeah, I don't understand the one that analogy, made, actually.
Well, it's...
Well, I'm glad
there.
You don't, brother, because a lot of people do. Well, you know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
Who's the enemy?
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
What do you mean? Obama and Biden. The Three Stooges, y'all. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I'm Hank Williams Jr. Everybody come over tonight. All my router friends. Needless to say, ESPN pulls Hank Williams Jr.'s classic All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over from Monday Night Football. Can you blame them, really? I mean, you know, as a sports analysis individual myself, I mean, you have to steer clear of those type of things. If you really do. So, I mean, for him to come out and say those things, it's all right to think that, I guess, if that's his uneducated formed opinion, by all means. But you don't go on national television and speak it. Unbelievable. The shape I'm in, or I mean the country's in, Jack Daniels, all my router friends and stuff. I've been to the Jack Daniels distillery. Hell, I got a whole barrel right now. Am I Hank Williams Jr.? I am Hank Williams Jr. I'll be dang. I'm Nashville. Thus proving that people from the South really do sound as dumb as they are. So. With that being said, moving on tonight, boy, I tell you, here's another classic Southern story for you. It looks like a Mississippi State football player urinated in the hedges at the Georgia game the other day. They cherish those bushes at Georgia, at the Stanford Stadium. They really do. Where football games are said to be played between the hedges. Maybe sophomore defensive back Nick Whitley just was looking for somewhere that he could, you know, not be photographed in a rather unfortunate moment. Maybe Whitley was just looking around. Or maybe he was just peeing in the bushes in front of 93,000 people at the Georgia Stadium. Really, man? You know, I mean, come on now. I understand you got all your gear on and stuff, but it's pregame. You could probably sneak away and try to, you know, pee, I guess, right? Yeah, there's only 93,000 people in here. Who's going to see me pee in the edges? You got to like that. Here's a really funny story I found here. A scoreless soccer game, it definitely can be terribly boring. There's no doubt about it. Just like on a long car ride. You know, you try to find ways to distract yourself from the monotony of it all. Singing songs, chants, popcorn, beer, maybe even doing the wave. This one couple in Germany says, you know what, we're going to pass the time by having public sex at a sold-out arena. You know, this is a quote from someone who was there. He said, I thought it didn't look right, the reporter told BILD. They are absolutely no inhibitions. Both of them had their pants down and they went at it. The people around them apparently were not really disturbed. It did not take long, however, for arena staff to intervene. The ushers noticed the commotion and urged the two to stop immediately, which they did for a moment. The couple then cooperated and were removed from the stadium before they were charged with indecent exposure. All I can say to that is... Goal. That speaks for itself there, does it not? Well, yeah, my name is Ryan. This has been Unsigned. I want to thank Mike, the founder of Omnis TV, for doing a wonderful job as always. And also shout out to @CookerCarolyn on Twitter. Definitely check her cookbook out. And all her new recipes are definitely available in that cookbook. Over 45 recipes, so definitely check that as well. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.